So we're supposed to talk about Gaur Leela, huh? Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So the Leela of Lord Chaitanya is unlimited. Krishnadas Kaviraj said he was just like standing on the shore of the ocean and, you know, giving a small sample of the unlimited. He said that if Ananta Shesha, with millions of mouths, was reciting different Gaur Leela with every mouth from time immemorial, he would never repeat the same thing, and it'd still go on and on and on. We don't know all those things, but we have been revealed by especially Krishnadas Kaviraj and Vrindavan Das Thakur, but with the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, we have, and then there's other books also, Lochan Das Thakur, and there have been found the diary of Murari Gupta, and, you know, different things. Many things were written that were lost. They will show up at some point as the desire of all the devotees increases to know more and more. And it's predicted that more will come to reveal more and more. And the ongoing leelas of Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement is a continuation. And he is present also in the form of the deity, the form of the holy name. And the leelas, they're absolute. Krishna is absolute, so his leelas, his name, his deity, is all the same. We have several. We were just at one Gaur Gadadhar temple in Mayapur. It's actually in Champahatta. That's a Champak flower market. It used to be a long time ago. Champakalata Gopi used to come there. They could travel differently than we travel. So she would go there to Mayapur and had a big champaka garden and would get all those nice champaka flowers for Krishna and Radharani, and nobody knew where she's getting them, you know. And then later that was a big market, so it's called Champakahatta, but now there's not too many champaka flowers, you know. It's Kali Yuga, it's a coal market and a potato and muri, you know, puffed rice. It's a huge piles of that, piles of potatoes, truckloads of potatoes, not so many flowers. So the Vaniath Vasu, the brother of Gadadhar Pandit, lived there. And he was visited by Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar. And Lord, at that time, Lord Chaitanya was informing a few intimate devotees that he was going to take sannyas. And it was very, very distressing for all of them because they knew he would leave Navadvip then. Sannyasi is not supposed to stay home, you know. So they were just completely devastated. And even Sachimata was hearing the rumors, but she didn't want to believe it, you know, that it was never going to happen. Because he had promised her, you know, I'll never leave. After the older brother took sannyas. And at that time, I think Nimai was very young, 5-6 years old or something, but he promised his mother, I'll never leave, I'll stay home. But then he started telling everyone he was going to take sannyas. And so she was devastated, but she didn't really believe it. But in the case of this Vaninath, then he was thinking, how can I live? You know, how will I live? How can I live without Lord Chaitanya's presence? So Lord Chaitanya arranged for a murti, the big one, it's there still. And they made the murtis of Gaur Gadadhar, which is a special mood of Lord Chaitanya because Radharani partially manifested as Gadadhar. She wanted to be able to associate much more with Krishna than in Vrajlila she has to sneak around, you know. So as Gadadhar and a friend, they could openly associate all the time. And then when they were leaving, this Vaninath said, "No, no, 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 I want you, not the statue." You know. And then it was a similar incident like it happened at Ambika with the, you know, who is that? Goridas Pandit. And then Lord Chaitanya, and they became unmovable, and the deity started to leave. So then he realized that the deity is non-different. So that deity is still there, worship. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established a temple there and put that one brahmachari, who was at the time 16 or 17 years old, and he stayed there till he was about 90-something, worshipping the deity. And finally he was getting very old, and various reasons he took Babaji and he moved out. He stayed over in Mayapur then. So he worshipped at Gorgadadhar there. So the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit, are, they went back way back to childhood, and especially became very, very intimate when Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya, where he had become initiated into chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he had completely transformed. I suppose all of us feel some transformation when we get initiated, right? But mainly, you know, we've been acting like devotees previously, right? But in his case, he was playing the role of a very proud scholar, and, you know, he would, the devotees used to be afraid to meet him even, because he would defeat them in debating, and he would sometimes reveal, the devotees were praying that he would become a devotee, because he was so influential and so good at argument and logic that they were thinking, well, if he became a devotee, everybody, you know, nobody will have a chance, everybody will get an influence. So he would say, "Thank you for your good wishes, and I'll show you," he said, "when I become a devotee, there'll be no one like me." So he was still acting very proud. But then when he, in Gaya, when he met Ishwarapuri, and he just became overwhelmed in ecstasy to see Ishwarapuri, who was such an intense manifestation of bhakti. And he was initiated in the holy name, and he told him, "Don't study the Vedas, you know, you're a fool, and you won't be able to understand, just chant." And he went mad just chanting all the time. And he got worried even. He went back to Ishwarapuri and said, "What kind of mantra is this you've given me? I'm going mad." And he said, "Good, that's what's supposed to happen." So he was happy with that. And when he got back to Navadvip, he was just mad, and everybody was like completely stunned. Of course, the devotees were in ecstasy to see that. And he was just chanting and crying, and, "Where is Krishna? Krishna, where is Krishna?" And he was just mad. And Sachimata was very worried. You know, her son has gone mad. The students, you know, were thinking he had some kind of a fever or Vayu disturbance, Vata disturbance, and they were giving different, you know, prescriptions how to cure him from it. And then he was, Lord Gadadhar finally said, "Krishna's in your heart. You don't have to worry, he's right in your heart, you know." And he said, "I'm going to get him out." And he started, you know, like scratching himself. And somehow Gadadhar calmed him down. And Madhusachi was very grateful, and she said, "You have to stay with my son all the time," because no one else could calm him down. So they were very intimate, you know, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar. They were always together. And so when he went to Puri, Gadadhar went with him. And Lord Chaitanya, somehow at that, what is it, the hill is a sand dune actually, and the Lord Chaitanya would think it was Govardhan whenever he saw that hill. But he found the deity there, that Tota Gopinath deity. So he gave that deity to Gadadhar and told him, you know, you worship. And he made him a Kshetra Sannyasi, stay in one place and just be dedicated to that deity. So Gadadhar was a dedicated servant of Tota Gopinath. But at one point, Lord Chaitanya was leaving Puri, and Gadadhar was screaming and crying and begging, I have to go with you. And he was saying, you have to stay here and worship the deity. He said, you are Krishna. What's the difference? If I worship you, I can leave the deity. And Lord Chaitanya didn't agree. But he finally let him follow. And he was walking, I don't know exactly the geography, but there's some river. So he let him follow up to a certain point. And then when they went to get on the boat to cross the river, he wouldn't let Gadadhar get on the boat. You have to stay. You have to stay and you have to worship Gopinath. And Gadadhar almost died. He just fell unconscious at the bank of the river and was just going to stay there, actually, in separation. And Lord Chaitanya just left him there, completely smashed. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya convinced him that this was a great mercy of the Lord, you know, that he left him there, and you know, because he gave him this duty and there's no difference, and then somehow he became pacified. So of course, he did come back to Puri also, and the last 18 years of his life, Lord Chaitanya never left Puri. 24 years he stayed in Navadvip, and you know, he had his pastimes as a scholar and, you know, whatever he was. And then he manifested the Sankirtan movement, and they had all those ecstatic kirtans at Srivas' house. And the first time he went out chanting to the Qazi's house, and then, you know, regular going all over, like we sing Udilo Arana Pura Babaji. They were going all over the place, singing and dancing in every town and village, and spreading the Sankirtan movement. And then he moved to Puri after taking sannyas, because he can't stay home anymore. And his mother was crying, and he apologized. He said, I'm a rascal. I should have taken your permission, but it's too late now. And she begged him to just at least stay in Puri, because that was the devotees in Navadvip would every year go to Rath Yatra, and there was a lot of movement back and forth between Puri and Navadvip, even though it's 12 days walking. So she thought, at least she'll get news, you know, she'll get some connection. So he agreed to that. He told her that when she was begging him to stay in Navadvip, he said, it won't look good, you know, people will criticize me. Sannyasi staying, you know, near his mother. So she didn't want that to happen. So then she sent him to Puri. And Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar would daily read Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar was especially expert at reciting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, maybe something like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami also, he was special at singing in many different tunes and speaking the Bhagavatam very beautifully. So Lord Chaitanya would go to his temple and they would read Srimad Bhagavatam every day for something like 3 hours. And they especially like to read, who knows what sections? Huh? You know, right? You know everything. Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya somehow especially liked those. So I always thought that was interesting. This is Radha and Krishna together, and they like to read about Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. And then there's some people saying that you should never read anything except Radha Krishna pastimes, right? But that's not what Lord Chaitanya taught by example, and that's not what the Goswamis taught by example, not certainly what Prabhupada taught. We want to read everything. I just heard Prabhupada saying that the Sahajiyas, they won't read the Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada says this is Krishna. This is all the Krishna on the battlefield is the same Krishna that's, you know, we're supposed to, everything about Krishna is relishable. Not only a little bit of his life, but then you don't really love Krishna, everything. So that was, and Gadadhar was also an expert cook. And Lord Chaitanya would relish eating the prasad that he had cooked for Gopinath. And he would glorify the prasadam and he would glorify Gadadhar. Of course, Radharani is also the expert cook that always cooked for Krishna. And so that Leela was there. So Lord Chaitanya was, of course, Krishna also. Many of the other Vishnu incarnations, you don't see loving exchanges so much, right? Just killing the demons and getting worshipped and, you know, the Vaikuntha kind of mood. Krishna, we have all so much loving exchanges with everybody, including the cows. And Lord Chaitanya, even more, he was very intimately, you know, living with his devotees and associating with them in so many different ways. And like this year, they call, I think last year also, they named the Mayapur Gaurpurnima Festival, Festival of Loving Exchanges. Because that's actually what it's all about. Personal bhakti is loving exchanges with Krishna. Bhakti means, Prabhupada translated it, loving, you know, devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya was taking service, and he was also serving the devotees all the time. He used to sometimes, you know, go to the bathing ghat and wash the clothes of the devotees and fold them up. He would love to serve prasadam. But he associated with everybody in different ways. So the leelas, they're unlimited, and you know we can hear them again and again. How he associated with Sanatana Goswami, for instance. When he first went out of his way, nobody knew why he went to Ramkeli, that place, because it was the headquarters of the Muslim king. Beautiful place, of course, on the bank of the Ganga. But he just went there to initiate Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They had written him a few letters, and he could tell from their letters, you know, what great devotees they were. Even though they were working in very high positions in the Muslim government, that was just another leela. And so when they came to meet Lord Chaitanya, they were so humble. They were dandabad with a straw in their teeth, and they were crying that, you know, nobody like us. If you save us, that will be the most glorious thing. Jagai and Madai was easy. They were much better, they said. Jagai and Madai were born in a Brahmin family, and they just had some sinful activities. You know, but they were living in Navadvipa in the holy place. But they said, we're much more fallen, and there's nobody as fallen as us. And they were crying. And Lord Chaitanya actually forcibly picked them up and embraced them and said, don't talk like that. He didn't like that. You are my eternal associates, he said. And then he gave them initiation right off. They became Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And then he also made transcendental arrangements that they could leave their government service. He said he had plans for them. And so Sanatan, you know, that's another story, but when he came to Puri, they would come sometimes from Vrindavan and visit Lord Chaitanya. And at one time, he had traveled across the Jarikanda forest, which is, you know, we know that forest full of animals where Lord Chaitanya went, and he got all the animals to chant and dance, elephants and tigers, deer and tiger were embracing and kissing and chanting the holy name, and rabbits and, you know, everybody. And his servant was scared seeing all these wild animals. It's still pretty wild. I think now it's more dacoits than animals, but it's dangerous in Bihar, you know, dangerous place. But it's still a jungle. It's still an actual jungle there. And he concocted some kind of disease where the skin was erupting and all kinds of sores and blood and pus was coming out. And Lord Chaitanya, every time he saw him, he would embrace him very firmly, and blood and pus would get on the body of Lord Chaitanya. So Sanatan was getting really distressed, and he was thinking that he was so offensive. So he started contemplating suicide rather than, you know, carry on with thinking that he was offending the Lord, and it was bad smelling, you know. And then one day Lord Chaitanya, he would come to visit every day Haridas Thakur and Sanatan. They were living together. And he just started talking about how suicide was in the mode of ignorance and was not at all pleasing to Krishna. And then Sanatan could understand that Lord Chaitanya knew his mind and he didn't like his plans. So he changed his mind. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you know, the body of a devotee is very pleasing to me. He said, it's just like a mother. Any of your mothers, I don't know if you, but he said that the mother, just like the baby, when the mother cleans the baby passing stool, she sees that like sandalwood pulp. She's very happy. And when I read that, it was interesting because I remember when my little sister was born, I was like 12 years old or something, and I would see my mother changing the diaper, and she would be so happy, just, you know. And my father couldn't do it. He would just, because the mother is empowered to handle that kind of thing. And so he said, when you love someone so much, and so he said, your body to me is like nectar, and there's no disturbance whatsoever. And I guess eventually that disease went away. So he exchanged. He had these very loving, you know, rasas with all the devotees in so many different ways. And he would inquire from his devotees, like Ramananda Roy. He would take the position of the student and inquire from him about bhakti and ask him for more and more, you know, deeper and deeper studies. With all the different, there's so many devotees, of course, and we have various, you know, revelations of some of them. He spent so much time with them, especially Gadadhar Pandit in Puri, and the devotees in Puri when Lord Chaitanya left, and he was so intimate with Gadadhar Pandit that he left this world by going into the temple, and he never came out from Tota Gopinath temple. He entered into the body of the deity. There's a golden spot on the deity there where he left one garland, and the garland they have buried there. Can't see it, but it's buried. So that was, you know, such intimate. So that's Krishna. He can do anything. He didn't leave anything behind, Lord Chaitanya. Krishna left apparently a body behind, you know. So the atheist could think, well, he died. But Lord Chaitanya didn't even do that. Some say he went in the Jagannath temple, and some say he went in the ocean. But Bhaktisiddhanta gave that he went in the Tota Gopinath. Of course, he could have done all of them at the same time. Can do anything. And we're meant to. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are very merciful because they're very easy to remember. If you think about that, Krishna kindly appears in this world and reveals very charming, you know, pastimes from childhood, babyhood even. Baby times are especially charming. If we try to memorize slokas, you know, I don't know about you young boys with clear minds, but, you know, we have to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat, right? And then forget it. what was that verse? Some devotees can remember, much better than others. But the leelas, we hear them once and, can pretty much remember it, kind of remember it. And then we can have pictures that remind us of all the leelas. And that's very merciful, because then we get absorbed. And then we're in the leela. When we do kirtan, when we do take prasad, even Lord Chaitanya relished prasadam, and taking prasadam and distributing prasadam. The devotees loved to cook for him. And he would exchange all kinds of rasas with the devotees who, like when he came to Navadvip, and Advaita had cooked so much, and Lord Chaitanya was complaining that I'm a sannyasi. At the time he was a new sannyasi also. And I don't want to eat, I just want some boiled vegetables. Lapra. That's just, in Bengal, that's a common food for poor people, just 5 different vegetables boiled. I'm a sannyasi, I shouldn't have any more than that. But there was a huge feast with, literally hundreds of different things. Even now in Bengal, if you, an ordinary feast is so many things if you go in the village. And he was complaining, and Sarvabhauma told him similarly. He said, I know who you are, and I know how much you eat in the Jagannath temple. And don't tell me you can't eat so much. But at that same time with Advaita, Nityananda was also complaining. He was saying, I've been fasting for a few days and you're not giving me anything. This is nothing. Why don't you feed me properly? And Lord Chaitanya was saying, it's too much. You shouldn't give me so much. So they had all their different leelas. And of course, Nityananda is also Krishna. And his leelas are non-different than Lord Chaitanya's. They were together so much of the time. But then he sent Nityananda back to Bengal. He actually ordered him, don't come to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra anymore. But he came anyway. And he said, why did you come? But he's Krishna, and he's Radha and Krishna. Sometimes he manifests more Krishna, being Krishna. Like when he's with Lord Nityananda, then it's Krishna and Balaram. When he's with Gadadhar, it's Radha and Krishna, but he's more Krishna. And then sometimes he's completely in the mood of Radharani, and sometimes he's Krishna trying to understand. He was trying to understand himself. He couldn't understand why, what is it Radharani has so much love? How can that be? So he manifested the mood of Radharani so he could try to understand what that was. And then out of that ecstasy, that deep meditation and that mood, came the Sankirtan movement, the public chanting of the holy name, the massive, Sankirtan ecstasy of the kirtan. Lord Chaitanya was criticized by the Hindus that he had made up a non-Hindu religion. It wasn't bona fide, this loud chanting of the holy name. They said they said that he's letting everybody chant, all kinds of people that aren't brahmanas. They're not caste brahmanas. They were thinking that only the caste brahmanas could chant the name of God. And they were actually saying that the holy name will become contaminated if all these low-class people chant. So they didn't understand Krishna at all. Because Parigat Shukram Akayam Arvinam Ashnaviram Shudam Apapavidam Kavirmanishi Paribhu Swayambhu Yato Yatashtashvatipyo Samabhya. That the holy name of the Lord is absolutely pure. And nothing can contaminate the holy name. And whatever contacts the holy name will be purified on top of it. Prabhupada translated prophylactic and antiseptic. Just like the sunshine, it shines on the dirtiest garbage heap. And if something is exposed long enough to the sun, it'll become purified. like the stool in the field, after a few days in the sun, it's dried up. It doesn't stink anymore. It becomes compost. And nothing ever contaminated the sun, no matter how much. Even if you could throw all the garbage into the sun, it would just burn up. It would. So Krishna is like that. But they were foolish. And also they were worried because they were making business of yajñas, like many brahmanas do, right? And not only Brahma, well, the brahmana section of every religion, the priests, the monks, they have a business out of blessings and yajñas and funerals and weddings, right? And so Lord Chaitanya was saying, you don't need any of that. All you need is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he was a threat to their livelihood, they thought. But they really believed, and they said this loud chanting is going to disturb Vishnu, and he's going to become angry, and it's going to destroy, he'll destroy our whole place. And, you know, we have to stop this. That's why the Qazi, you know, tried to stop the kirtan. When the Muslims complained, he thought, well, of course, Muslims complain. The Muslims are saying, these, you know, these Hindus, they're always chanting Krishna, and then we start chanting. Can't help it. And they, and not only that, the Hindus have names of Krishna, and we have to work with them. So we have to say, hey, Krishna, get over here, or Rama, come over here, you know. And then we can't, we chant. And we, but the Qazi thought, well, of course, Muslims complain. It doesn't, he didn't take it seriously. But when the Hindu brahmanas all complained about Nimai's concocted religion, he said he used to be a nice boy, you know. But after his father died, he's gone a little crazy, and he got bad association. And now he's just chanting all the time, and he's polluting everybody and spreading this concocted religion. But after Lord Chaitanya preached to the Qazi, and I'm sure we'll hear more details about all that as the days go on, then the Qazi also became a great devotee. And you can see that. How many have been to the Qazi Samadhi? How many have seen champak trees anywhere else? I've seen millions of champak trees because I used to live in Hawaii and then in Bali, and they're everywhere. But they never get very big. But that thing is huge. You know, it's 500 years old. It's still growing. And there's still flowers on it. The neem trees often get very big, but this one is especially quite big. That's Nimai and Champak. That was a nickname of the Qazi. So he became also a great devotee and a great sign of the causeless mercy of... Because who was the Qazi in the previous life? Kamsa. And what happened to Kamsa when he... with Krishna? Huh? He gave him mercy. He killed him. And caused him great anxiety, you know, that Kamsa was just, ever since before Krishna was born, he was just in anxiety for fear of Krishna. And it just got worse and worse and worse. He couldn't relax, couldn't sleep, couldn't look in the mirror. He wouldn't even see his face in the mirror when he looked, and couldn't see his shadow. You know, he was just going completely insane for fear of Krishna. And then finally Krishna killed him. But the Qazi, he liberated him, made him a devotee by preaching. And that's the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya and his whole movement, that he's just benedicting everyone. And he's empowering us to carry on. Anyone who just chants the holy name can enter into the Leela. Our temples are just, mainly all the Leelas, there's kirtan, there's prasad, his dancing, little philosophy. When Lord Chaitanya preached, he perfectly presented the Srimad Bhagavatam, so it's important to read about Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that no one can understand the Bhagavatam without reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes devotees think you have to read the whole Bhagavatam first. But Prabhupada was so determined to give us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Previously, in Prabhupada's very beginning time, when he was alone in India, he was actually advertising in his Back to Godhead Chaitanya Bhagavat in English with purports. But then somehow he decided, because of time factor or whatever reason, that Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually the most important presentation of Lord Chaitanya's life, because so much preaching is there, and his presentation of the philosophy from all angles is there, very carefully preserved. Chaitanya Bhagavat is more of the ecstatic kirtan leelas. That's very nice, and it's very important also. But so Prabhupada made a special effort to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita. He stopped his work on Bhagavatam for a year or so, and he simply concentrated on Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he went to, he was in Los Angeles, and they had just got the BBT going very nicely, organized, and they had the computers. They were very much cutting edge at that time with the way they were using computers. It was just the beginning of using computers in book production. And they were very proud that they could finish a new book every 2 months, because Prabhupada was criticizing the devotees. They were begging for more translation. He said, "Why should I translate? You're not publishing. You're not distributing." So he had the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita translated, and he called in the BBT managers and said, "We want the whole thing in 2 months, 17 books. So they said, they went to discuss it, and they came back and said, "It's not possible." So Prabhupada said, he was very angry. He said, "You have no faith in the guru, and impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." Who's that a quote? It's a quote from somebody. It's a quote from some famous person, an English person. So they went again, and then they were in a panic. So they calculated and calculated, and they came back and said, "All right, we can do it under certain conditions." So there was one condition was that Prabhupada had to stay in L.A. for extended time, so that any questions about the Bengali or Sanskrit, they could ask him directly. Because otherwise, there was no email then, no fax. They would have to write a letter, and sometimes Prabhupada didn't get letters for a couple months, right? And then he would get all the letters at once. And so that wasn't going to work to get so quick. He agreed. Then they said, "We have to use photographs. We can't make enough paintings, you know, fast enough." So he said, "All right." So they got to work. The marathon, the famous marathon. And the BBT devotees hardly ever left their desk. They just felt they slept, you know, on the desk. They ate on the desk. They said sometimes one devotee would be painting and he'd fall asleep. Another one would stand behind him and work on the same painting. It was very intense ecstasy. And they finished. But the last book, they came to Vrindavan with the last one. And it was like a week late or 2 weeks. Were you there? Prabhupada chastised him. "You said it would be here now, but you're 1 week late," he said. But he was very, very happy. And then the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. They were coming kind of one by one, but one after another, really quick. And then Prabhupada was very, very happy in that. And he wanted us to read that. Even devotees were a little bit bewildered, and they asked him, you know, "Can we distribute this Chaitanya Charitamrita in Sankirtan?" He said, "Yes, why not? Whatever book anyone likes, you know, they can read." But so he very much wanted us to hear about Chaitanya. Some of the very first classes Prabhupada gave was in New York, was Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was revealing, you know, Lord Chaitanya. I think the first big book was Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the introduction to Teaching of Lord Chaitanya is The introduction of the Bhagavatam, first canto, is a summary of Lord Chaitanya's life. You know, so very, very important thing, and also ecstatic, and anyone can relate to it, anyone can understand. We still have Rath Yatra all the time, and Lord Chaitanya is always there when there's Rath Yatra. You're having one here in a couple of weeks, right? So many Rath Yatras. And interesting, those in Puri, a long time ago when they first started to have Rath Yatra in Calcutta, they have it at the same time as at Puri. And they were complaining because they thought a lot of people didn't come to Puri, they stayed in Calcutta. Now they're complaining that we do it on different days. But we know what Prabhupada wanted. He was happy to have Rath Yatra in Australia in June is the middle of winter. So he said, yes, you can have in January because that's summer. That's a nice time. So Prabhupada, he just wanted to glorify Lord Jagannath, and Lord Chaitanya, you know, worship Lord Jagannath for so many years daily. And he saw Krishna, he didn't see any difference. And now, Lord, you know, by that mercy, Jagannath is going everywhere, Kirtan is going everywhere. And we have these leelas, and we really like to have everybody read them and remember them and tell other people about them, do dramas of Lord Chaitanya's leelas. They're very, very easy to do and very, very ecstatic. Lord Chaitanya, unlimited leelas. Simply, if we just read Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's just mind-boggling. How many leelas are covered sometimes just in a few pages? Right? Just one after another, after another, after. And then they all can be expanded unlimitedly. Sometimes we read different, you know, books that expand the same leela more and more. We get more commentaries and purports. And as we participate in these leelas by Sankirtan movement, and more is revealed and more we can understand as we worship Lord Chaitanya, the form of the deity, and we can do all the things. Sachimata was cooking for Lord Chaitanya and dressing him when he was young. We can do all that too. We can have kirtan. We can discuss Krishna Leela. We can hear about all the things he relished to hear. He also loved to hear Krishna Leela and hear it from all his devotees. So we'll hear more and more over the next few days. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. How long are we supposed to go? Is 8:30 to finish? Is that right? Huh? Any question or comment or... Since most of you, at least the temple devotees, you've heard so many Chaitanya Leelas. But they get better every time, right? It's not boring, right? Like people will ask, well, how can you just read the same book? How can you just chant the same song? All that? Because it's a good song, it's a good book. The stuff they have, you know, they can't do it again and again because it's no good, it's dried up. You know, it's like, so they always think that the next one would be better, you know. And then they have to go back to the old one. And very few books that anybody would read more than once. Maybe Shakespeare or something, if they're some kind of scholar. But we can read the Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again and again, and it just gets better and better and better. And it's unlimited ocean. It just expands all the time by the mercy of the devotees. And every time we hear it from different devotees, we hear it with more relish and more ecstasy. And we can try to be like a Dvaitacharya and really cry out for the Lord to come. Really call out that he will come and manifest himself so that it can attract more and more people to take to the Sankirtan movement, and be rescued like he rescued, of course, especially Jagai and Madai, but so many, many people, Buddhists, Mayavadis, you know, whoever came in contact with him would become devotees. And it's still going on. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. All right? So, any question or comment? Or are you happy? Yeah. Devotees are always happy.
But when Chaitanya Charitamrita came out and we were distributing them in the airports and wherever, it was so ecstatic because we'd never seen anything like it before.
The first Chaitanya Charitamrita was Adi Lila Volume 2.
Yeah.
And it was huge. Like that, if you've seen that original Krishna book, it was that big and really thick, you know. And we were distributing those. It was amazing.
I remember...
And we didn't have ever read it before either. So we were reading it at the same time and distributing it.
There was a famous singer, Johnny Cash. Did you ever hear of Johnny Cash? He came through. He's very famous. And I approached him, and he said... He looked at Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he said, "Oh, is this new?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I have some of your master's books. They're very beautiful."
That was when the second time, the real set came out, right?
And he was very happy. He gave me
$40. Everybody knows Johnny Cash. One time in Juhu, when I lived there in 1978 or whenever it was, I came out of the room and I fell into a burning ring of fire. The flames get higher. Yeah. He's describing the material world. That's Johnny Cash, very famous. And he was famous as a spiritualist also. He liked Prabhupada's books. I met one drunken, crazy guy once, and he said, "I know that Chaitanya. He's got three Leelas. He's got an Adi Leela and Madhya Leela." I don't know how he knew about it. He was like almost a homeless guy, but somehow he knew. Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, and Ancha Leela. Beginning, you know, the birth and the childhood pastimes, and then the middle preaching pastimes, and then winding up when he was just getting more and more absorbed in internal ecstasy of Krishna Bhakti, of, you know, Prema. But he revealed everything for us, so very, very merciful. All right. So, Hare Krishna. We'll carry on in the morning. Radhe Radhana Swami will be around. Anybody else? No questions? So, please, everybody, read Chaitanya Charitamrita and talk about it. Talk about Lord Chaitanya. Remember Lord Chaitanya. There's nothing more sublime. Of course, we have the whole Panchatattva, but, you know, that's different manifestations of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful because he's freely giving love of Godhead, Namo Mahavaranaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya, Namani Gora, Tuishe Nama. He's not the color of Krishna, but he's just like Krishna. And he's predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam, although it's a hidden prediction. What is that verse? Krishna Varna, Twisha Krishna. He's Sango Pangas to Parshadam. He's not the color of Krishna, but he's just like Krishna. He's just always chanting the name of Krishna. And his associates, weapons are his associates. Vishnu incarnations come with arrows and clubs and chakras and all kinds of weapons. But he comes with his associates and spreads the Sankirtan movement. Yajna Sankirtana prayer. That's the yajna, is the Sankirtan. And Yajantihi Sumedasa. Those who have a good brain, and they'll join in. And we have to make their brains good, because anyone who chants the holy name and hears the holy name and hears about Krishna, they'll become attracted. And of course, the beauty of Lord Chaitanya is inconceivable. So anybody who just sees the pictures and looks through it, they'll be, you know, benedicted. And they'll understand Krishna. So the more we give Krishna, the more we get Krishna. Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari. Hari 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 Hari. Gauranga. 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 And that name is very powerful, you know. Sometimes in the West, like I was in Poland at that Woodstock festival. Have you ever been there? So it's a typical, hippie. Not, I don't know, hippie, what they are, but generally everybody is artificially, you know, altering their consciousness in various ways. But one tent is just, they actually keep the deities in there, and then there's kirtan. And on the main stage there's many other things, you know. But a lot of them come in there, and they're just chanting, they're dancing, and they don't chant so much. Some of them do. So I stopped, I said, you know, Hare Krishna, and a few of them would say it. But then I just said, Gauranga, and everybody, Gauranga! And then after about three or four times of Gauranga, when I said Hare Krishna, everybody chanted Hare Krishna. Because first the name of Lord Chaitanya, and the freed of all offenses, and it's very easy to chant Hare Krishna. But of course they were happily joining in the kirtan and, you know, dancing like crazy, to dance until late at night. And no matter how long we, one night I went till 5 o'clock morning, and it was still. Actually, when I stopped once to talk, they said, "No, don't talk, sing." Because it's just all attractive, and that happens all over when devotees do these big festivals, and they just have kirtan. And at the Glastonbury Festival, that's in England. You ever heard of that one? That's it's supposed to be the biggest rock festival in the world or something. It's a huge thing, you know. Just, they have like circus tents with every kind of rock music, different ones, you know, one for that, what do they call that, electric? And they have all different kinds and hundreds of the most famous bands. And so when, I guess it's still the same, but Tribhuvanath Prabhu, we'd start the kirtan maybe midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, because that's when the other bands would stop. Otherwise, it's so noisy everywhere. And the tent was full, just completely full. Some of them were sleeping, and he'd say, "You have to move. If you're sleeping, you have to move over. This is the Hare Krishna dance tent." So they would move over to the side and sleep, and everybody would dance. And at 5 o'clock, when he stopped, you know, they said, "More, more, more, more." I said, "More what?" They said, "More Hare Krishna, more Hare Krishna." So it's all powerful. This Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that it's all like Jagai and Madai, you know, everybody practically. At least as far as drunkenness goes. But the holy name and Lord Chaitanya's movement is just inundating everyone. And the more we give it and to everybody, and the more Lord Chaitanya is pleased, and the more we get to, you know, realizations. Right. Hare Krishna. Gauranga.
Gauranga.
Haribol, 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 Haribol. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll see you in the morning.